Welcome to the Niche Podcast, your weekly rundown of the biotech, clinical research, and life science industries. I'm your host, Dr. Noah Goodson. This week, two Mercs, three story. Parexel gets genomes. Genomes get money. And 2021 is the year of the upsized public offering. Merck has shown up in the news a lot this week. First, Tepmetko was approved by the FDA as a once-daily oral MET inhibitor. The oncology treatment was developed by Merck KGaA. That's the German Merck. In case you're confused, Merck in the USA was a part of the original Merck KGaA, but the company was split because of World War I. Merck KGaA's Tepmetko is squarely in the precision oncology segment. It's specifically approved for a rare form of metastatic non-small cell lung cancer with mesenchymal epithelial transition exon 14 skipping alterations, or NSCLC MEDX 14. With this launch, Merck will now directly compete with Novartis's Tabrecta, which was approved May 2020 and had around $35 million in sales last year. Treatment is basically similar between these two drugs, but Merck gets the once-daily claim, with Novartis's therapy being a twice-daily. Probably not a deal-breaker for someone with metastatic lung cancer. These are small markets with high therapy cost. Tepmetko is set to be $20,898.60 for a 30-day supply. Tabrecta is just under $18,000 for 20 days. Key to both drug success is an increase in market size. One way to do this will be expanded genetic testing among NSCLC patients for MEDX 14. That's an advocacy both Novartis and Merck KGaA will get behind. The U.S. Merck, sold as MSD globally, made several announcements this week. First, nothing surprising, they dropped their 2020 financial reports. Numerous big players have put out reports in the last 2 weeks, with more expected soon, and unfortunately, we just don't have time to get into all of them. For Merck, the big picture is an upward direction despite a slow year. Their total growth in sales was 2% year over year, but Q4 results were up 5%. A huge, no, enormous, no, mind-blowing amount of Merck's current growth is from Keytruda. I cannot emphasize this hard enough. The oncology mega blockbuster saw a year-over-year 30% sales increase to $14.4 billion. As they continue to garner approvals for new indications, expect Keytruda to grow significantly next year as well. It's unclear when competition from niche oncology therapies will chip away at total sales, but at least in the midterm, Keytruda will continue to dominate. The other key news from the report is the plan to spin off Organon into an independent company at the back half of this year. This has been planned and announced for a long time, and I suspect without a pandemic, it could have happened sooner. Organon will focus on women's health and biosimilars. The most momentous news this week was the announcement of the June 30th retirement of CEO Kenneth Frazier. Mr. Frazier has worked at Merck in numerous leadership roles for nearly 30 years. His 10-year run as CEO has seen the company through tumultuous waters in a competitive space. When he took over leadership, he was the first African-American to lead a Fortune 500 company. He'll be replaced by Robert Davis, Merck's CFO. Mr. Frazier will continue to serve as executive chairman of the board of directors, and I suspect Merck will continue on in a relatively stable direction, even with a change in leadership. Developing a new product in the biopharma space is incredibly challenging. There are design barriers, capital to raise, and regulatory hurdles. The SCOPE method provides consultative solutions to navigate industry-specific challenges. We've helped companies pivot into new therapeutic spaces, change trajectory through clinical insights, and empowered CEOs with tools to transform their data into stories that raise capital. The SCOPE method will help you develop data-driven, strategic processes. Find out more at thescopemethod.com. A leading clinical research organization, Parexel, announced a partnership with NeoGenomics this week. NeoGenomics provides genetic testing in the oncology space. The collaboration is intended to integrate improved patient matching for oncology trial design through Parexel's pipeline. As we've mentioned on the show, a burgeoning sector is precision oncology treatments, like TEPMETKO and TABRECTA. There's a flock of companies in preclinical through early clinical pipelines targeting these patient populations. This solidified relationship should allow Parexel to identify and screen potential enrollees and successfully match them with targeted companies through one centralized pipeline. Based on the language of the announcement, Parexel may also be receiving data insights from NeoGenomics that they can utilize in customer acquisition. No financials surrounding the deal were disclosed. Speaking of utilizing data, 23andMe is going public through a SPAC, giving itself a valuation of $3.5 billion and around $900 million in cash. All those genomes people have paid to have analyzed, turns out 80% of the folks gave 23andMe permission to do genetic research. This gives the company a massive and incredibly important data set, which is obviously fiscally valuable and has been written about extensively since the launch of personalized genome testing. The language of this announcement is quintessential Silicon Valley hyperbole, including the terms revolution, industry disruptor, and fundamentally transform. Their actual plans? Something to do with personalized healthcare and capitalism. We'll stay tuned to find out more. It's no surprise, based on markets and investor trends, to see so many IPOs and additional POs. But the number that are getting upsized and expanded is pretty amazing to watch. Two from this last week. First, Revolution Medicine upsized to a $260.9 million PO. They originally went public at $17 a share in February 2020. This new offering will likely raise capital for expanded clinical research operations. Their key SHP2 inhibitor is at phase 2 clinical trial under a fully funded partnership with Sanofi, so these new funds are likely for some of their six other targets. Sana Biotechnology has gone absolutely bonkers in raising money. In June 2020, they pulled $700 million from top names across the biopharma space. Now they've gone public with a $588 million IPO. These shares will likely be significantly more valuable, at least in the near term. I say this because there's a huge amount of big name and very successful capital behind Sana. This creates momentum and investor confidence. What's the long-term value of a company that raises $1.3 billion in 7 months? Well, that's impossible to speculate on because they haven't made anything yet. But my guess is right between oof and oh wow. Thanks for joining me on the Niche Podcast, your weekly summary of the top news in the biotech, clinical trials, and life science industries. You can learn more at thenichepod.com or find us on your favorite podcast app. Like, comment, subscribe, and most of all, share with your friends. If you like what you hear, please rate and review. It really helps us. Once again, I'm Dr. Noah Goodson, and I'll see you next week.